The Comedy Zone Podcast is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network. Listen to your city at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
From Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Comedy Zone Podcast with Will Jacobs. Find us on Twitter at the CZ Podcast. Email us at comedyzonepodcast@gmail.com.
Hey guys, as you can probably tell, I am not Jason Allen King. Regrettably so. This is Joy Wills, and I will be hosting the Comedy Zone podcast here with Brian Baltashevitz for the next couple weeks. So I really appreciate you tuning in. I do want to introduce the guest that I have brought. She won't look at me in the eyes. We're having a little bit of a disagreement.
This is going to be fun.
This will be fun. I'm excited we're going to get to air our grievances. This is what everyone wants.
This is what everyone's been hoping for. I was actually looking something up that I had prepared for the podcast.
Oh,
so I wasn't avoiding eye contact, just for the record.
Okay, well, everyone, Grace Howell.
Hi, Joy, how are you?
You have a pretty good radio voice.
I do, thank you. I feel like I have a deep voice. For a woman.
That was a really nice way of me saying you have a deep voice. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to take it as a compliment.
Yeah, it works in some cases. Maybe not your daily life, but in this certain circumstance, I think it benefits you.
I mean, I feel like in my daily life, I get complimented on it often.
Oh, good. Surprising, but good to hear.
This is going great.
This is going great.
Brian, are you excited that I'm here today?
I am on a couple different levels. First of all, it's nice to have a couple ladies in the room as opposed to the sausage fest we usually get. But awesome. I'm also excited to meet you. I was saying when you walked in, I can't believe we've never met.
It's very nice to meet you too. I know. I can't believe so either, because I've known about you for many years, ever since I've been on the comedy scene.
Yeah, it's the same, but for whatever reason, our paths never crossed until this very moment. I'm excited. It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. I think it's also the pandemic we have to blame a little for
100%.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah, and the fact that I don't leave either this space or my house. Ever.
Because you're also a hermit.
Yes, exactly.
And we were all hermits for a couple of years.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Grace is similar in the fact she doesn't leave her house much. Yeah. And unless you follow 10-year-old baseball, I don't think you guys would have run into each other.
That's true. Are you an avid fan? Now 12-year-old baseball.
I'm of 12-year-old baseball. Yeah. There's a restraining order.
Oh.
Yeah.
Joy hasn't gotten a restraining
so
order yet,
close.
But she comes to many games, yes. And she's very well known. The boys in the dugout all know when Joy is there.
Yeah, it did become something. I won't say an issue because I don't think it's an issue.
No, no.
But it is funny how your son Gavin reacts to it.
Yes, he'll ask when her absence is always noted. How's that?
Yes, that's very sweet, actually.
Yes, yeah. I think it is too.
Well, yeah, he'll be like the night before, like, is Joy coming to my game tomorrow? And if you say no, you're like, why do you want to know? It's like, no, I don't really care. I just like want to know one way or the other. It's like,
exactly.
Oh, why do you?
Well, and then when you show up, he's like, well, what are you doing here?
Yeah, especially when other kids are like, is that your babysitter?
That's true.
Like, no, it's my mom's friend.
Like, clearly I can't afford a nanny, people.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be helpful.
I mean, fair. Should we tell them about the first time you took Gavin to a baseball practice? As a favor.
That's fine. We can. Well, so I am helpful, by the way. Took him to baseball
practice.
Joy's
very nice. Yes. She took my son to drop him off to baseball practice, and he was in the back seat, and she made sure he was buckled up, very nice and conscientious. And he was like, did you drink all of these? And they were like four crumpled up hard seltzer cans. Just thrown back.
It wasn't like I was crushing them on my head and throwing them back.
I didn't say that, Brian. Did I say that she crushed
them? You made motions. And now it's like, he'll agree with you.
No, but you know what's funny, Brian? So at the time, I think Gavin was like 9. And I think he thought they were sodas. He just couldn't believe one person could drink 4 sodas at once. He didn't even know they were alcohol.
Yeah.
But so.
And he hasn't been in my car since. Because he's a snitch.
Intentionally. Seriously, snitches dig ditches.
Yeah. So why don't you tell him that when you go home? And I know I called it. I've said he's 10 years old for the past 3 years.
He's 12 now, Joy.
I know, that's wild. And he looks it. He's right. He's a grown boy.
Yes. He's like almost teen. And it's, yeah. He's as sarcastic as you would imagine an almost teen.
I do enjoy making him laugh more than most people. He catches on to the subtleties.
Yes. I think he knows that when you laugh at one of his jokes, it's like a good one.
Yeah.
That he's being funny. So.
Yeah. He'll mimic me a lot. Which is kind of like last week when I was talking about how my siblings make fun of the way I talk.
Yeah.
Gavin does it.
He does.
But it's one of those things where I use the voice that I do and I'm like, hey. And it's kind of like, ironically, was just mimicking my mom. And it's how I would talk to my brother, Anthony.
Right.
But then it was one of those things like when you say LOL and it starts as a bit, but then you unironically start doing it. Like I started using that voice so much. But every time I do it, he says it after me and I forget that I do it.
He repeats a lot of your stuff and uses it.
Oh, really?
In everyday life, because he knows it's going to get a laugh. So I'm like, you need to come up with your own material. You're using Joy's stuff.
That's what I did with my siblings. I just repeated everything they said to a younger audience, and it killed. Everyone thought I was hilarious.
You do seem to have, like, a very funny family, though. Your siblings are, like, very sarcastic, very funny. They're good at roasting, which is something you are very good at.
Yeah. I mean, it's like it's like cage fighting. I was trained from an early age. All my siblings are very funny. I feel bad because I've always said, like, they never let me talk when I was little.
Right.
But if you're the youngest of six kids, you do owe your personality to your siblings.
That's
like,
true.
Like, they created my whole personality.
Right. Even the tougher parts forced you to be funny.
Right.
Because you had to be.
Yeah, I was forced.
Yeah.
But I was like watching WWE Raw and like Jerry Springer when I was 10 years old. I shouldn't say that.
That's true.
Mom, that's really, I am totally kidding. I was watching Wheel of Fortune.
You were watching Peppa Pig.
Price is Right. I don't know. Not Peppa Pig. Barney. Big SpongeBob girl over here.
That is funny. Well, but you were, I don't know, it's like chicken or egg, though, because we discovered some of your writing from kindergarten recently, and it was, like, extremely well-written.
It was, like, third or fourth grade, yeah, and it sounded like something I would write today.
It did. It was like, how are you such an evolved writer at such a young age? Like, I don't know that we can give that to your siblings.
But you know what we figured out? I'm a good writer, but I'm so bad at math.
Brian, do you want to know? Okay, so we were drinking White Claws at a concert recently, and they give you, like, the big ones.
Okay.
And it says 5% alcohol in it. And Joy goes, Grace, there's no way this could be right. 5%? These are so big. They say 5%. She goes, they say 5% on the little cans. And I literally was, like, looking at her with my mouth agape, like, what are you talking about?
Explained her how percentages work.
And yes, incrementally, it has 5% alcohol, no matter what packaging. So no, but I've discovered Joy Wells's Achilles. It's the maths.
But I will say, if I had done that in front of anyone else, they would have started laughing because they thought it was a bit. And that's, like, such a good thing about being, like, the funny friend or a comedian. They're going to assume you're kidding. And you have a very small amount of time to try to convince them that you were.
But I did know.
Yeah, no, you all, yeah.
I know you too.
You could see it on my face.
You were like, oh, man.
It's because you didn't say anything. And I was like, I don't know how yet, but that's not right.
I don't quite understand the math part, but yeah, that was funny. And my friend, who also knows Joy and thinks she's hilarious, she was like, Joy, don't ever say that in front of anybody else ever again.
Luckily, people are surprised when I say dumb stuff. I do appreciate that. Yeah. And we're also missing a key factor to the story that I don't know why Grace omitted. We were at a Kid Rock concert.
Oh, my God. I on purpose did not want to say.
Oh, we know. What are you afraid of?
Because I was so abhorred by some of the things we ended up seeing there.
Grace felt unsafe, and rightfully so, at this Kid Rock concert.
Yes. I mean, this is definitely, it was just a very different scene than I thought it was going to be.
Also, in our defense, we planned on going with Megan, our friend, and we got tickets, like, almost 2 months in advance, but you and I kind of did it as a bit. But she is from Michigan, so
I think
she
we
was
thought we were going to go.
We just thought it was funny, and like we're not really going to end up doing this. And the day comes,
we went, and I was like, oh,
we did not want to go. And Megan would be okay with us saying that we had a good time as it was, but leading up, we were like, oh, I think it's cloudy. It's going to rain. Like thinking of anything to possibly not go all the way to PNC for a Kid Rock concert.
It was supposed to rain that day. It didn't.
It did not.
We didn't get saved.
But I did buy two t-shirts.
Yes.
They were high quality.
Kid Rock t-shirts?
I did. I'm a merch girl. I get merch everywhere, every concert I go to.
You can be a fan of someone's music and not necessarily their political views. How's that?
Hey, I think that's totally fair. Thank you for bringing that up.
I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. But it was a very interesting experience. And 5% alcohol would have never come out if we not gone there.
That's true. I guess if we go to another concert, I'm drinking hard liquor.
Like, because... I'm infinitely grateful for that.
All right. That's a bit much.
Just that in and of itself. I think we're supposed to talk about comedy, Joy.
We probably should, for sure.
What do you think, Brian?
I think it's your show. Yeah. So whatever you guys want to talk about.
Hey, Joy, what do you want to talk about? Yeah.
Ever since I decided to ask Grace to do this first episode with us, and we text every day, and I was like, let's save everything interesting for the podcast. So if we were to say anything, we're like, can't talk about it. But we didn't say anything interesting.
We didn't? In the last whole week, we haven't said anything.
Probably
interesting.
Not.
Really?
Not. I mean, we of course we have. We talk about things like
we do
people and stuff all the time.
Yes. Well, why don't you talk about what's the what's the most fun thing that's happened lately for you with comedy?
The most fun thing that's happened recently?
Yeah.
I mean, getting to do this is extremely fun. It's a way new experience, and I'm very grateful to have done it. Because as we said, Brian's been trying to get me to do a podcast for quite some time.
Yeah.
And I've been so afraid to take that leap because I want it to be good.
Yeah.
I want it to be quality, and I want it to be not just something that comedians can listen to, but other people would be interested.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm pretty booked this next month, which is very exciting. I mean, I always love when I get to travel more. Going to Zany's is always really fun. I've gotten to do that a couple times.
Yep.
And just when exciting people come in and get to see them or meet them. And I don't think people realize how small of a community the comedy world is.
Right.
Like, you are 1 degree or less away from everyone that you see on Netflix.
Right.
If you go to comedy shows regularly. So that's definitely
Well,
cool.
You got to just do Catherine Blanford's
show. That was so amazing because I know Catherine. She's a friend of mine, and I would say, the first person that I'm relatively close with that I've seen really seem like it's all happening for her in front of our eyes. Like, she's in LA this week doing shows with Adam Ray and Craig Robinson and all these people, which is so amazing. And it's great to see her. I mean, she sold 280 seats at the Comedy Zone, which was amazing.
Crazy.
And she's still so excited about it,
right.
Obviously, because it's the first time she's getting to headline clubs. And
yep.
A lot of the people that we see or we work with that are big celebrities that come in, sometimes you can feel like they're a little jaded. And they don't want to meet a lot of people. I mean, obviously, they're doing 5 to 6 shows a weekend, that it can be really exhausting. But she talked to every single person.
That came to the show.
Yeah, that came to
That's
the show,
awesome.
That left, which was so sweet. She was taking pictures with everyone. And then went to Small Bar afterwards and talked to people more.
That's
and
awesome.
I love that. And I'm so happy for her because she really deserves it.
And she was just on Fallon. Brian, did you see her on Fallon? She was amazing.
I did not. I can't watch Jimmy Fallon.
Oh.
Because he laughs at everyone too hard?
He's just trying so hard.
Yeah.
And I hate saying it out loud in a forum where people can hear it, but I'm just not, because generally I don't like to, you know, I don't like to sort of dump on people, and I'm taking this way off the path that you guys started on.
No, I appreciate that.
I just can't do Fallon.
Real
I just think
opinion.
He's trying so hard, and it doesn't seem sincere. And,
oh.
And just, you know, everything the Tonight Show brand was is now it's not, and that's upsetting.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, you're entitled to your opinion for sure. I mean, I think that it has changed a lot, right? Since the year, you know, the previous
years.
I do think he still resonates with younger crowd, right?
Well, I think he doesn't ever upset anyone.
Yeah.
He always wants the guest to feel welcome and that they're the funniest, most important, talented person in the world.
Right.
And you're right. That's not how it was born. And even hosts after Johnny Carson. And he's just not, he's not discerning in his guests whatsoever. I mean, especially we talked about people who do clubs now. It's a lot of YouTubers and TikTokers, and he has to have all those people on. And back in the day, that would have never, you wouldn't have what some people consider like a sideshow.
Right.
And to sit on the couch.
Right. That's true. Interesting.
So in answer to your question, I did not see her say but I need to find it. I've heard good things about it. I need to go back and find it.
She did well. I just cannot imagine that pressure of, imagine you going up there your first time on this national stage.
She had 9 days to prepare.
I mean,
I
can't
imagine. They wanted her so quickly.
Right. I mean, so in a way, I mean, she's been working hard for years.
Yes, of course.
But it kind of happens fast.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting as you see her as a friend, like kind of experience it.
Right.
It's just fast. It's like you have to get used to it really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And is it possible to get used to it quickly? Probably not. Everything she's experiencing
is
brand new. Like she's all of a sudden headlining most of her shows, right? I'm guessing.
Yeah, absolutely. So. I think outside of LA, there's not a place where she wouldn't headline LA, New York.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I said, it's so crazy that she, like, we know her and how quickly you can really advance and level up. And on our level, it's so funny because her path is obviously her path and everyone's path is different. That's why I don't like giving unsolicited advice. I know when I got this opportunity to host this podcast for a little bit, I did have people reach out and be like, why don't you talk about this or why don't you do this?
Yeah.
I'm like, first of all, no one asked me. I don't, and my journey is not going to be your journey. I can talk about my experience and what I think is right or give advice in that sense, but I'm not going to tell people what they should and shouldn't do at an open mic or what they should talk about or shouldn't.
That's fair. I do think people are curious, you know, about your journey and your experience because it's been a positive one.
Yeah.
And one probably to emulate. So even if you don't feel like you're giving out advice to tell people what to do, I think how you've navigated is probably a kind of a good way to lead others that may feel a little lost, if that makes sense. Because we do see a lot of people on the scene. Everyone's on their own different journeys, right? But some seem to have a little bit harder time gaining traction than others, to put it like that.
No, absolutely. And I don't know if many people would want my advice or anything like that. But I respect that some people do appreciate that I've risen a little bit quickly on a local level.
Yep.
And I attribute that to a lot of people in relationships. I think that's something that I would tell everyone. I was like, the first thing you need to do is be funny. That's bar none the most important. But secondly, you need to build and maintain strong relationships.
Right.
Be a person that others don't mind being around, that would like to hang out with and want to work with. I think a lot of people get in their own way being someone that no one wants to hang out with.
Be likable.
We talk about that a lot with Jason. Be a good hang.
It's true.
It's, you know, it's not just what you do on stage, but it's what you do around. You know, don't be annoying. Don't get in the in the headliner's way. Don't ask him all kinds of questions 5 minutes before he or she goes on.
Right.
But be someone who's fun to hang out with. You know, talk about comedy if they want to talk about comedy, but be able to talk about other things too.
Absolutely.
That's fair. Jason's really good at that too.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you'll see a lot of the people on the scene that are experiencing success are good at those other things.
Well, and the people who are most successful on the scene aren't talking really poorly about anyone else, and they're not blaming other people for anything that happens to them. Like, if someone else, if Jason or you gets a gig that I wanted, it's not your fault.
Right.
And I think a lot of people can get a little entitled or love to blame.
Agree. I also think it's like you and I talk about this all the time. You know, someone else being successful doesn't take away anything from me. I think we can be happy for each other.
Yeah.
And still all get to the place we all want to go. Not everybody wants to get to the same places.
Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting. Comedy, stand-up comedy seems to be a pretty lonely go of it. And so if you don't make friends to kind of support you along the way, I think it can get tough. I don't know how people do it without having kind of like a support system.
Mm-hmm.
So
Tara does always mention, Tara loves our relationship because we have never had a negative thought towards each other, like comedy-wise.
We support each other, right. And I think it's hard for people, except until otherwise, today. Otherwise, yeah. Until today, Brian.
Personally, I have a lot of qualms over here.
That's one of the funniest things I'll never forget. This was a while ago at an open mic in a bathroom situation with very thin walls. I could hear a comedian talking about Joy and I.
Oh, no.
And saying, well, you know, they're just always together and at the same shows and they're such good friends. Like, there's something odd about that. And it was almost like, wow, you've never seen Friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've never had a genuine friendship.
I'm sad for you.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
It was kind of funny. In my younger years, I think that would have really bothered me. Sure. And it's so funny. When you turn 45, it doesn't bother you anymore. But I think it made me realize that there aren't a lot of genuine friendships around. I think when everyone's kind of in this comedy grind, it's not saying there aren't genuine friendships out there, but there aren't as many as I would have thought.
Yeah. And I think it's really important to be supportive, even if you're close friends or not, of anyone who's doing what you're doing on the same level or passion.
Yep.
If you're working towards the same goal, because Don Garrett says this all the time, someone on our scene like becoming big or just elevating is going to help the entire scene.
It's good for everybody.
Yeah, it's good for everybody. If one person comes up, it's good for the entire scene.
Yeah, absolutely. Something funny too that I think it's so funny. One of the first shows I did, I don't know, 4 years ago, one of the comedians was like, oh, it's so cute. Grace still has friends that come to her shows.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, huh. And I mean, not to brag, because I think a lot of people have friends. But I mean, 4 years later, I still have friends that come
to my
shows.
Your friends are always trying to come to shows.
Yes. Like, I mean, but I was like, you don't have to not have friends to be a comedian. You can have friends support you along the way.
Yeah.
It's okay. It doesn't have to be like such a hard grind. Like, oh, your friends will go away. They're going to leave you. I'm like, no, they're not.
Right. It's that projection. It's when other people's friends and family don't support them as much as they used to, which is fair.
I mean,
I don't want my friends to come anymore because I'm like, you've heard a lot of those before. Right.
I'm not saying my friends come to every single show.
No, yeah,
but
of course.
Like, when I have a good one, I definitely let them know. And I'm like, hey, you may want to come to this one. So hopefully that never goes away. And you certainly are not going to ever have your friends and family not supporting you. I mean, and you also have, I mean, we're building our fans now and you have your fans.
Our fans.
You have your fans that come to your shows and follow you. And
that's, I mean, I wouldn't say I have fans, but I've had people who have come to more than one show.
Yeah, those are called fans. And Brian, yes,
that makes them fans.
Yes,
that's
and if you
want,
yeah, yeah, someone who's a stranger that comes to more than one show, I think we can define as a fan.
I will say, I was in Fayetteville last week, and there was a guy in the audience who was like, "I saw you in Nashville," and I was like, "What do you mean you saw me in Nashville? Like,
that's
on Broadway?"
Cool.
And he was like, "No, I saw you open for Big J." I was like, whoa. Wow.
That's amazing. That's really cool. And he came to the show because he saw you were going to be in the show.
Yes, he did.
I mean, that's really awesome.
Yeah. It's wild.
And then, so you also did Dave Attell recently,
yes,
which is incredible. And I think he's one of the best comedians of all time.
Absolutely.
Pretty much. I got to hang out in the green room one night,
yeah,
and he was so kind. He is truly one of the kindest people. Yeah. He's the real deal. And he drank coffee the whole night, which I'm like, are you going to sleep ever?
Yeah, and he bought pizza and ice cream for the whole staff at the Comedy Zone.
I mean,
he's just a very, very nice and genuine person.
Nicest guy. And then I wasn't there this night, but then Judd Apatow shows up and does 20 minutes. I mean,
did we talk about this last week?
It came up, I think, but I don't think you told the story exactly.
It was so wild because it was a show that we added. We weren't even going to do a Sunday show, but Dave was selling well as per expected. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was 4th of July weekend, second favorite holiday, but just kidding. I'll tell you about that in a second. So I'm sitting in the green room with Mimi, who featured, and a couple other people, and Dave's not there yet, and Judd Apatow walks in. And I just stare at him, and I was like, what are you doing? He was like, oh, sorry, I called Dave, and he told me I could come in. I was like, oh, no, no, I'm not policing. Like, as if I... Yes, like,
Joy yeah. told me to leave, so I had to...
Yeah, I'm like...
Joy kicked Judd Apatow out of the green room. Like,
you got ID, bud?
Oh, my God.
Totally big dogged him. No, I was like, yeah, of course. And he comes and he sits down. And there were like four or five of us in there. He was like, is everyone on the show? Just like hoping it wasn't that. And I was like, no, no, no. Just us two, like pointed to Mimi. And but I was like, really, what are you doing here? And he had just come in. They started filming a movie a couple days later. And Axios has posted about it with the Please Don't Destroy guys from SNL in Conan came in to film a little. Meg Stalter's in it. Bowen Yang is in it.
It's crazy. They've been seen all around Plaza.
Right.
And I mean, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait till that movie
comes
out.
Was like, I just flew in from London because we start filming soon. And he was in his hotel room and he just Googled what's going on in Charlotte and he saw Dave's face. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And I felt like such a stalker because I was like, yeah, I was just in London at Glastonbury. And I was like, I know. It was like, it's my wife and I's 25th anniversary. I was like, again, you didn't have to tell me.
Is it because of Twitter? You knew.
Yeah, Twitter and TikTok. They were went to an Olivia Rodrigo concert. And Judd Apatow and Olivia Rodrigo crossing over is my TikTok algorithm in its entirety.
Perfect.
And he was just so cool, so nice, went up and did 20 minutes.
I mean, that's amazing. He's one of the most talented producers.
Yeah. I felt so dumb because when you're hosting, which I was, you always ask for an intro, what the person wants you to say about them. And it's like, I felt dumb asking Judd Apatow. That was like, hey, what are your credits?
So where have we seen you?
Yeah. So where can I tell these people you'll be next? And he was like, it doesn't really matter. You can tell them the last time I was here I was filming Talladega Nights.
I was like, oh, that's right.
Yeah. And then I, just so I didn't just say that, and I wanted to do as much as I could, I Googled him and on his Wikipedia, and I mentioned everything from like 40-year-old virgin, This Is 40, Superbad, Bridesmaids, and then Freaks and Geeks, Heavyweights, all of it.
So many good movies.
I was like, if you're in this room, there is a 99.9% chance Judd Apatow has directed, written, or produced your favorite comedy film. Yeah.
For sure. And Talladega Nights, I feel like, is so iconic, especially in North
Carolina. This area. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, it's so good. And the fact that he's nice on top of it, because, I mean, listen, I think we've both had pretty good experiences with who we've gotten to meet in the comedy scene-wise.
I was thinking about that today.
They're not quite as kind as Dave. And Judd.
Dave was such a sweet man.
Dave,
I mean,
the real
Big
deal.
J was incredibly
was
sweet
really
as
nice.
Well.
Yeah.
I really don't think I've had a celebrity encounter within comedy that I felt negatively towards afterwards.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, Jared Freed. He said he was
Jared,
so, nice.
So sweet. Yeah, and Jared's the kind of comedian that he's not as far off. Like he's obviously much more successful, but. He still remembers what it was like and knows how much like posting you on a story is going to do for you and things like that.
Yeah.
And so I think he's very thoughtful.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's just like comedians know the grind. And so it's like they respect even us trying to come up and work hard to get further along.
Right.
So that is kind of cool. That's the camaraderie that we need.
And also, they don't want to be an asshole because you're spending an entire weekend with them. It doesn't benefit them.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, unless they bring their own feature, they don't really have to talk to you. And I haven't experienced that either, but I could understand why some people do that.
I am still sad we haven't run into Meg Stalter, right?
She just left last week. I'm so
but
upset.
She was here for weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen Hacks, Brian?
I have not.
Oh,
no,
it's
so
good.
Yeah.
It's so good. It was like her breakout role.
Yes. And she is not, I wouldn't call her a main character, but every scene she stole. She's so funny.
She was like, in terms of the breakout, not supposed to be the main character, she's like Rebel Wilson in Pitch Perfect. Like her little lines steal every scene.
Yeah, she played it so well. In fact, I felt like her role got bigger towards the end of the second season just because
they had. Yeah, I mean,
she was so
out of
good.
Demand. They write more for her.
She was great. I definitely thought we were going to meet her and become best friends with her.
Oh, I tried. Oh my gosh,
because she was posting quite a bit.
Yeah, I responded to one of her stories.
You
I
did.
Mean. Just one, though, because I do always worry with celebrities if I DM them and I come off like such a loser that I'm going to meet him in a couple years and I'll be like, hey, I was just kidding.
That was a goof.
Yeah, those were goofs.
Wait, is she a stand-up or just actress?
She's a stand-up, yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I was going to say, because she would be funny.
Well, and I kind of wanted to be like, why aren't they doing shows here? I was so upset.
I wonder why.
She should have done. I think the Comedy Zone would have been lucky to have her on a Thursday.
Absolutely. I mean, she was probably busy with filming the movie, but I think the SNL guys did film some of their sketches here, right? For SNL? Or did I just...
Well, no, they didn't get here until like mid-July.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, that's off-season for SNL.
It's very fun to have things like that film here, though.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if like something that big has happened here in a little bit.
It's been a minute. I mean, because of COVID, but also because of, you know, the North Carolina legislature cut down the tax
rates
a little while ago for films to come. But it's starting to happen again. Oh. There's a lot of those like Netflix and Hallmark movies are shooting in this area now. And
My friend's house was in one of those Hallmark movies.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like off of Carmel Country Club.
Okay. Wow.
I mean, of course.
I mean, yeah.
It's like made for Hallmark.
Fish in a barrel over there.
So they did the whole fake snow thing because it was, of course, a Christmas movie.
Was Cameron Bure there?
I don't know. That's a very good question. I think she just jumped ship, though, with Winnie from The Wonder Years to go to another rival network. Did you not know that?
Lifetime? What other network rivals Hallmark?
I don't remember, but it's...
Well, Netflix is producing a bunch of those movies now.
Yeah.
That makes sense because, you know, you started as a Lifetime original, show on Netflix with Penn Badgley.
Oh, I did not know that.
I saw that because I saw Catherine Gallagher do an interview. And she said, yeah, their whole first season was on Lifetime first and then got picked up by Netflix.
Because it became so popular. Because it would never have gotten the success it has.
No. I mean, no one has cable anymore.
No. Well.
You do, yeah. Loser.
Okay. We just like to double pay for everything. Because I was like, why do we have this all the streaming platforms?
Oh, my gosh, you have so much money.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That's exactly the point. No, I think it's wasteful, actually.
If Grace wanted everyone to know something here today.
Okay, no.
I'm just kidding.
I can't.
No, she handles it well.
That laugh.
That's not how I laugh, I promise. I was drinking.
It's exactly how you laugh every time. Okay, I want to know
if we should take a break at any point, Ryan.
Maybe now's the time to take a break. So hold your question for just a minute. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come back after the break. So go ahead and say that.
Yeah, okay, guys. We've been on a roll here. I'm going to take a quick break and we will be back here shortly.
If you think or know you had COVID-19, you can be around others after 10 days since symptoms first appeared and after 24 hours with no fever without fever-reducing medication and after other symptoms have improved. If you have tested positive for COVID-19 and you had no symptoms, you can be around others 10 days after you got tested for COVID-19. To learn more, visit cdc.gov/coronavirus.
Hey guys, we are back with the Comedy Zone podcast. I'm Joy Wills. Before we dive back into it, we do have some great shows at the Comedy Zone coming here soon this weekend. Marlon Wayans will be here, and we have Nick Coletti next week. And that weekend, we will have Tracy Morgan.
That's an amazing
That's
lineup.
A stiff lineup we got coming.
That's yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to want to go to all those.
I will say, what's his name? Damon Wayans was here recently.
Yes, and he was hilarious.
And he told Grace she was pretty.
That's nice.
It's true.
It was very nice. He told me that I was too pretty to be at the Comedy Zone. Mm. I don't know what that meant.
Yeah.
Which I reject. I wasn't there, I want to say.
You were not there that night. Yeah. No, he was very kind, very funny. And I think I thought he looked so much younger than he told me his age was. Or we might have Googled him.
You guys probably said that to each other.
Right. No, I didn't tell him my age. But he was very nice. Well, it was funny because I ran into the green room to take a picture with him That's one of the perks of being a comedian.
Yeah, yeah, which we don't recommend if you don't regularly work at the Comedy Zone.
Storm the curtain.
No, I was given permission. And my husband got a little jealous when I told him that he told me that I was pretty.
We should also let you know that Grace's husband was there, and she did not let him know that she was going to the green room to take this picture.
Because I just took my shot. Like, I don't remember. I just asked permission, and someone said yes.
It all happened so fast.
Yeah, and I just ran in. I was like, yeah. I took my chance.
So Grace comes back and she's like, I just met him. And he's like, what? And you literally ran away from your husband to go meet him.
I did. I probably could have brought him with me, couldn't I?
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
In retrospect.
I don't know if he would have told you you were too pretty to work at the Comedy Zone if he had been there. But
I panicked. But he was a gentleman. He was very nice. So, and I wasn't the only, he was like very kind. I think he had a lot of people come in for photos and stuff. So
in there?
Well, a few others at least.
Yikes.
Yeah. I mean, it was sold out. They loved him.
Yeah.
He was really funny. His stand-up is very tight. I didn't know that he
really did stand
work,
up, yeah.
Yeah. You know how some
I mean, the whole Wayans family, it seems like they're first and foremost comedic actors.
Right. Exactly. So, but, I mean, from his set, you can tell he's worked really hard. It's tight.
Yeah. I would have known he was touring regularly.
Right. And I don't think that's what they're necessarily known for. They're known for their movies. And
right.
I mean, so anyway, but they're a very talented family. The humor runs in the family.
Oh, yeah? Man, what a callback. Grace knows what she's doing. Oh, my gosh.
Do you think, you have 10 nieces and nephews.
I do.
Soon to be 12.
Soon to be 13. 13.
Oh, my God.
Are you, are they going to be funny?
I'm sure some of them.
I mean, I feel like some of them already are.
Just
some
the
of
law of average states that someone's going to have a
yeah, exactly. At least one of them is going to be funny. I feel like we talk about Lucy's humor a lot, you and I.
She's very dry and sarcastic. She's like a mini Tina Fey.
Yeah, like she got her school play or something, and I was like, I bet you're going to be amazing. And she just goes, yeah. It's like, damn, girl.
She's almost too cool.
Yeah.
She was what, at like 8 at the time, 10? When she said that to you? Like,
yeah, something. It was probably like a year and a half ago.
And even
ago.
The way she texts, it's very like unenthusiastic.
Oh, very short, very dry. And it'll be like, you texted me. And she's acting like she wants nothing to do with you.
So I'm a little intimidated by her. I'll just say that now. I think she has your sense of humor.
Yeah, she is growing up very much like me. I mean, because her dad, my brother Gordon, was one of my biggest influences.
Right.
And he talks to her like she's an adult for the most part, which is sharpening her tools very quickly.
So she's on her way.
Absolutely.
And I have my money on Franny, but she's only one. But I really think she's going to be funny.
She's about to be two, yeah.
Well, she shares Joy's middle name, so she's already got that.
Okay. Yeah. She's sweet. Wally's pretty funny.
Yeah. He's funny. I think Jack's going to be funny.
Oh, yeah. Jack's a little Chris Farley. He is... He and his brother are 2 years apart, and he is already wearing his clothes at the same age.
Yes, so he's already on his way.
Yeah, we don't need to go through the whole. Okay, and now I feel bad if
we've
I have
covered. I think 6 of them.
Yeah, that's enough.
So yeah, the answer is they're going to be funny.
Yeah,
are your parents funny?
Oof, that's hard to say. I think they have their moments.
They have their different senses.
My mom's
of humor.
Big into social media, though. Which
she is.
Yeah, she uses a lot of emojis.
So
I feel like a lot of your friends use emojis too.
Yes. I think overuse of emojis is hard on you. You don't like it.
Yeah, it is difficult. I'm not a huge fan.
Okay.
And it's one of those things, like I said, now I use ironically and it's starting to be a real thing. Your mom is very funny.
My mom is inadvertently funny.
She wants me to find a good church boyfriend so badly.
Yes. A good God-fearing Christian.
Yes, she will. When I go over to Grace's house and her parents are there, she'll get really close to me. she'll grab my waist and was like, "You need to find a good man who prays." And like, I'm
a good man who prays is exactly what Joy put on her
Hinge
profile.
Yeah, exactly.
Because my mom told her to.
Wow. And how did that work out?
It's so interesting because I think Joy is more. She wants my mom's approval more than. I think I've ever seen you want anyone's approval.
I don't know. I mean, I don't have to work hard for it, so I don't know how you could say
it's pretty unconditional.
But I will say, when it comes to like Hinge and dating apps, if you show an ounce of like doing stand up, like I have a picture of me on stage, either that's all the guy wants to talk about, or he wants to talk about how he has been meaning to try it.
Right.
all of his friends telling me super funny.
Yeah.
And that there's nothing is more frustrating to me because it's like, who is stopping you?
Obviously you.
Yeah. I'm the one in his way. It was like, well, hey, here's a list of open mics. Go at it, bud.
That is a great point. I guess we've never talked about this. Maybe that's one of the things you don't put on there anymore because I feel like it's almost a barrier.
But that's such a big part of your life.
No, that's fair. I mean, Brian, you would be shocked at the DMs this one receives after shows.
Not that.
I wouldn't necessarily be shocked.
No, I guess you wouldn't.
I'd probably send a couple.
Listen, I'm all for guys shooting their shot, and I think it's nice for it to be like you're funny, you're great. But yeah, it's some of them are just outright strange.
Some of them are strange. Some of them reference my set, and one thing I do forget, like you go on stage and you talk about yourself or experiences or whatever it may be. But you don't necessarily know who's in the audience. And so when someone references something you said, I'm like, oh, how did you know that? Or like, what did you find out? Yeah. Or some things I exaggerate, of course. And then they just like think that's who I am.
Right.
Well, it's interesting. Right. Because a lot of jokes are rooted in truth, but they are jokes. And so sometimes lately, especially for both of us, I feel like people have been taking us very literally.
Yeah.
And like she has a single dad's joke. And so that one... A lot of single dads come out of the woodwork.
No, I bet. Yeah.
So sometimes we'll be like, maybe don't say that one tonight because this crowd might.
I'm looking at the audience and I think you should take this one, and this one.
I have a joke about a guy with a cute dog and I talk about like talking to him because of his dog. And to be honest, spoiler alert, I'm not a huge dog person. I've never had an animal before. And so some guys will just send me pictures of their dogs and I'm like, oh.
This doesn't do anything for me.
I'm so sorry.
And first of all, I do take issue with that. I think that you've a little bit evolved into a dog person.
I appreciate dogs.
Past few
I just
years.
Don't want one.
Right.
And
which is fine.
If they don't slobber, perfect. But like, that's what really kills me.
That is funny.
My favorite thing is when I do a bigger show with like a celebrity in town, people there don't know that I don't live in Charlotte. So they're like, hey, when you're coming back through, like, I'd love to buy you a drink. I'm like, I am here all the time.
I'm ready for drinks every time.
unless they're not cute, I was like, I will let you know when I come back.
That's really funny. I want to know who are, like, the comedians you're on your bucket list that you want to work with.
That's tough. I mean, there's a lot of people that I love and would love to work with, but I'm almost, like, scared to be on a show with them because I would want to do so well.
Right. No, but those are ones that you should list. You got to like put it out there and then it'll probably happen.
I mean, definitely like Tig Notaro would be one of my favorites of all time. I mean, Neil Brennan, I would lose my mind.
Yeah. He's actually touring right now.
Select cities. Yeah.
He's like West Coast and Northern. Like, he doesn't really come down here.
No,
is he doing theaters or clubs?
I think he's doing
theaters. He's doing theaters,
He's just so talented.
Yeah, I mean, those would be big ones. And then, did you see, like, Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda did that Netflix thing? Like, I would love to meet Lily Tomlin.
That'd be awesome.
She's so freaking funny. Michelle Buteau.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
I love
her. She's on my list for sure.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
And when it comes to people like that, she is so different than my style. Like, I would just love to watch her.
Yeah.
Like, I would settle for just going to any of these people's shows.
Right. You have to meet Kat Cohen.
Kat Cohen? Oh, my gosh. She would be so good.
We're going to go see Nate Bargatze soon.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. He's coming in December.
Yeah. Wow. I bought those tickets so long ago. You know you've made it when someone has to buy your tickets, like, 8 months in advance.
Oh, yeah. Taylor Tomlinson is coming here, too. Grace got me the Nate Bargatze tickets for my birthday in July, which is very sweet.
And then they announced Taylor, and I was like, oh, I think she would have... but they're both awesome.
Yeah. No, they will both be great shows, but I am glad you picked Nate.
Really?
We can still go to Taylor.
Yeah.
But Taylor's, it seems like our stories are so similar.
They are. Her voice is different, like the way her delivery, but... yeah, there are a lot of similarities between you guys.
Yeah, I would almost hate to like pick up anything that she does.
Right. And she's had a really big rise over the past few years.
Yeah, she's only like 28.
Yeah, crazy how young she is.
Yes, and she's very talented.
She is,
right.
Yeah.
She started at like 17.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
She has a whole bit about or I saw something maybe on social where she was talking about starting in churches.
Yeah.
And now she got like basically banned from churches for telling certain jokes. And,
you know, I was going to say, I wouldn't like think 17. That her, nor- well.
Which is so funny because she's still like relatively clean. Like she's not a dirty comic by any means.
That's funny.
I was talking about her today with a coworker, actually, because Sam Morril's special just came out on Netflix.
That's her boyfriend.
I think, maybe. I mean, I know they've been together. I don't know if they still are or not. But he is very dark. Very smart, but very dark. And it's funny thinking about them together.
The dichotomy, yeah. I don't know. I think that's got to be hard, two comedians in a relationship.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be very... I mean, it's good for the same reasons it's bad, I feel like.
Right. But I guess that's with anything in life is like,
right.
But I don't think any two people should be probably in the same industry necessarily.
Well, and it's mostly like two people in an ego-driven industry.
And that's one that has it can have a lot of ups and downs, ebbs and flows.
Right.
And not necessarily in concert. In fact, probably not.
Well,
right?
And it's got to be, I mean, in relating to a normal relationship, you have to want the best for the other person. Mm-hmm. And it can get harder and harder when you're wanting the same things.
Right. Exactly. Unless you do it like as a duo.
Yeah. There are some couples that tour together.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Joe List and his wife tour together. I mean, Tom and Christina have a podcast.
Oh. It didn't work for Joe and Joe Coy and Chelsea Handler.
It didn't.
And that's sad because we shipped them.
We did ship them.
We thought they were awesome.
But they still seem like good.
Yeah. They seem like they're cool.
But how long did they go out?
It was a little less than a year.
Yeah.
And there was this like huge announcement how they've decided. Gone out for a year.
They filmed a video.
Why is there a press release?
So they're like my age group, right? They're like 40s.
Yeah.
I think they're probably
Chelsea
a little older.
Chelsea might even be a little bit older.
So the thing about them that it puzzled me, which I guess people are just more highly evolved these days, is they were talking about how they had already been in couples therapy. I'm like, you guys were still in the honeymoon phase as far as I don't know if we're older now, so... If you start a new relationship, it's like people just decide.
I just feel
like you really needed therapy already. I don't know, you know, but they seemed like they were so cute.
I mean, you could tell they really wanted it to work.
Right. She definitely did.
We know them so well.
I know. They're like our best. They're like our best friends.
I love them.
They asked us about what they
totally
should say.
We totally do that. And that's so funny.
We get like emotionally invested though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why I feel bad because it's such a double-edged sword when you talk about like why they release have a press release about the relationship. And it's because everyone is truly so invested.
Yes. It's because we were emotionally invested in their relationship.
Well, that's such a tricky thing about comedians because you do put yourself out there. But at what point are you like, whoa, not that far?
Yeah.
Because you invite everyone in a little bit.
That is true.
I didn't even know that they were coupled.
Really?
I did not know. I had no idea that they
were. We were following it from the start. Because I remember when they first got together, we were like, what?
Yeah, it did seem random. I mean, because they'd known each other for so long.
He was on her show many years ago, which I used to watch religiously, on her mm-hmm. E-show. He was one of the panelists. It was like friends turned...
Yeah.
You know, romantic, which is always a good story.
I mean, there's so much more intertwining, I think, than the regular public knows between comedians.
Yes, I agree. Because even the few that...
Or actors or anybody.
Right. It's not a large community, basically. It's pretty small.
No, and if you are touring with someone or you're on set with someone for weeks or months at a time, you get close.
Yep. You get to know them. And, I mean, you develop a reputation either way, good, bad, ugly, pretty quickly.
Right. Everyone's going to know. There are no secrets in the industry.
Right.
Scary. Scary.
There might be some, but...
Yeah. Certainly some we don't know yet.
We try to find all of them out, Ryan.
Well, that's time well spent.
I love that.
We do. We spend our time well, I will say.
We are, like, dissecting celebrity relationships.
See, we really turned this around, Grace. I came in here so annoyed with Grace. And I will say, we are very close friends, but I... wanted to punch her in the throat earlier.
She did
today.
Legitimately. She
told
me.
Her. Yeah,
yes.
I told her that.
I asked her where she was going to punch me, like in my face, and
she goes,
said,
"Are you
no.
going to punch me in the face?"
She said, "No, I would like to punch you in your throat," and she said it with genuine.
I said, "As hard as I possibly
genuine
could.
Passion that she wanted to hurt me."
Yeah, that's personal.
Yeah, that's... and not did I just say it with that much passion? I meant it with my whole heart.
But let's point out that Brian said he's on my side.
Yeah, but he...
Right, Brian?
He still doesn't know the story.
Without knowing anything about it.
Yeah, exactly.
You just decided, though, after just meeting me, you're like, I'm on Grace's side. I love that.
If we're just like looking at the history, you have hit me much more than I've ever hit you.
I will say I've hit you, but not hard, Brian. Just like no, just she's friendly punches.
But like if you're a person who works out, there are no such things as friendly punches. Like you hit me hard. A punch from me means nothing.
They're more jabs. But she will
my
say
arms
the next
are
thing.
Jello.
Well, she kind of bruises like a peach, though.
I do.
I'm
anemic.
You could see. Brian concurs. So I just want to reiterate that they're light taps, not really punches.
You can reiterate till the sun, like till the cows come
home.
All
right, so do you want to tell everybody
nobody
why you're
believes
mad
you.
Why you're mad at me?
I need to know what this, if you're comfortable talking about it, I need to know what the disagreement was.
I mean, now it's embarrassing because there's so much buildup. I do not pretend to be an organized person whatsoever. I don't keep a clean home necessarily. And this is a huge insecurity of mine. I don't like people to come into my space unless I know they're coming so I can prepare. And we were going to meet here earlier today to record. And Grace was dropping her daughter off at gymnastics and was going to be early. So she asked if I wanted her to pick me up.
Isn't that thoughtful?
Very nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was
a nice gesture. So.
It was by chance. She did not plan on this. She was accidentally nice, I think is the best way to put it.
Inadvertently nice.
Exactly.
That's one way to say it, Brian.
But you could have also said no.
And we'll get there.
That's what she wishes.
Yeah. And so I was like, yeah, sure. And she was like, I'm going to come into your house. And I said, no, you're not. She goes, no, yeah, I'm going to come in. And I'm going to throw away the first three things that
no,
I see.
I didn't say throw away. I said I was going to take them.
Oh, you're going to take them?
Like
what
for myself. Like cute clothes or shoes.
If I have anything that you would like.
Of course you do.
So, and I was like, I swear to God, Grace, if you come in this house, like, don't pick me up. Do not do it. And she was like, no, I'm going to come in. Like, just keeps.
I mean,
and she knows
I was
how
joking.
Much I.
Yeah.
It was
but
not.
She got so heated.
Maybe not clearly.
She was so heated. And so then I brought it up again because it was fun.
For a third time. Because hilarity ensued the first two times she said it.
Well,
and
it's
I was
the rule
like,
of threes.
Thank you, Ryan. Yeah. Again
someone,
on my side.
Someone took the Comedy Zone class.
Oh my God.
And so I was like, don't pick me up. And she was like, oh, I'm kidding. And I was like, I swear. And immediately I am just so annoyed. And she did come to my house and she didn't come in.
She did not come in.
No.
I mean, I wasn't going to, but it's so fun that she got so mad.
Did you stand outside with like a boombox?
I need that one.
There's one here that looks like it'd be perfect.
And honestly, I brought her drinks.
Very nice.
I was so thoughtful.
No, she goes, you're going to be really mad at yourself for being mean because I brought drinks. And I was like, keep your drinks. I don't need them. I have drinks.
That's how mad she was. It was really funny. And I almost got a punch
in
the throat.
Brian, it was a hoot and a half.
Sounds like a quote.
I could not stop laughing.
That might have legitimately been the most annoyed you've been ever, maybe.
I think it probably was because you were just, and this is why I tell Grace all the time, she gaslights me. And because she was like, you have such a bad attitude. I was like, she knew I would be mad if she came in. And so she kept saying she was going to. And once I react, I'm the crazy one. You're just like a man in Hollywood.
Brian, I'm glad that we were on the same page on this whole story.
Well, if I may.
please.
I can't wait.
What was it about? I mean, you know how, like, you know, when you argue with a boyfriend or your husband or whatever about, you know, a thing, it's never about that thing. It's always about something else.
No, for her, it's legitimately the thing.
Right. It is. Well, and because she always comes back to, she's like, do you think I'm that judgmental? Because my house is messy and I wouldn't want anyone to see it. And I'm like, no, but she always says that. And she came into my house on my birthday. And she was like, man, this place is disgusting. After she told me she would not be judgmental.
No, I did not say disgusting. I just didn't realize you had so many shoes.
It was several synonyms for that word.
No.
And like, and you told all my friends, like,
I
you said
not.
It at dinner.
I did. I just said you had a lot of shoes. Okay.
That's not true.
The level of filth. Let's talk about
that. It's not filth.
No, filth is not the right word.
It's not dirty at all. It's really not.
It's cluttered.
It is cluttered.
She has a lot of
shoes and t-shirts. Clothes. Yeah.
Yeah.
The t-shirt collection is awesome.
I have
though.
Too many t-shirts.
Yeah, but that's your thing. Yeah. And she does love shoes. She loves sneakers. But I'm like, you can't possibly wear all those. But I know that I sound like a mom. I'm like, you don't wear all of those. But she's like, I already threw away like 30 pairs. I'm like,
no, I get it. So it's not like
it's not dirty
food.
No, it's not like that. No, there's never food in the house.
I do eat. Grace loves to tell people I don't eat either.
No, there's definitely not food. If you want to eat, no. If you want shoes or clothes, go to Joy's house, but not food.
So it's just
you're starting
you could maybe be better at picking up after yourself is what I'm hearing.
In May, I moved to a much smaller house.
Yeah.
Okay. And so even like my room and closet is as big as my house now. And so I have like a kitchen table without a space for in my kitchen. Like I have a galley kitchen and furniture. And so there's just a lot more stuff. I would love to get rid of some of that. But then I worry about if I move.
She's going to use her kitchen as a closet. Let's just say it.
My second bedroom is my closet.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's, yeah.
But it's still not enough.
it's not even close.
No. And my living room. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, that was it. Is that what you expected? You expected something more exciting?
Yeah, I thought it would have been not. I mean, exciting, but I thought it would have been.
Joy and
something
I really
more real.
Joy and I,
something more substantial.
You're like something
substantial.
Substantive.
Yeah.
Joy and I don't disagree often, and when we do, it's about very thing like petty things that don't inconsequential things that don't matter.
Yeah, like maybe we just get bored.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. But we don't really. We do. It's interesting. We have a. Like a big age gap between us, but we agree on a lot of on most things.
Yeah, I mean it's true, and we try to correlate it to something, and we grew up very differently.
We never know what the common ground is. Like I grew up in Philly. Like parents are immigrants. Like
is the middle of three. Yeah,
yeah, in the middle of three kids, and like Joy and I don't have a lot of commonalities, but it's interesting how like you know when we met and on the comedy scene. Yeah, we just. And
well, I think the commonality is comedy. First of
no,
all,
no, absolutely,
and
that is.
And when you, I mean, you never know when you're going to connect with somebody, whether it's someone, you know, a very close friendship or you know, a romantic relationship. It's you never know when that connection is going to happen, and there's no you can't control it. It's just a thing. Hey, you know, I like this person a lot. This person's really cool. Yeah. We seem to get along.
It definitely was like super organic. Like
I will say, I was very scared when I first came onto the scene because I didn't really know anybody. The one person I knew, like, told me we couldn't be friends because his girlfriend was jealous, and I didn't know what to like. I didn't know anybody. It was so bizarre, and so I was going to these open mics alone, and it was terrifying. And then I did a month later. I did a show with Grace. And she texted me and was like, hey, can you call me tomorrow? And then immediately was like, here's what you need to do. But like, and it was just so nice. And someone like throwing out a lifeline for me to have like any kind of support system in the comedy scene.
I mean, that's nice. You would have been fine regardless. But yes.
It would have taken me a lot longer to feel comfortable, I will say.
Well, that's nice. Yeah, that is how. I mean, and yeah, from there we became fast friends, definitely.
And now she wants to punch you in the throat.
I mean, that's how far we've come.
Full circle.
We've
evolved. Can we wrap this up so I can get down to business over
here? All right, guys. I'm not going to be able to talk for the next few days, so.
Not going to be able to use that booming radio voice of yours.
Yes. Voice for radio. What did they say? Face for radio?
Yeah. I used to talk about how I wear graphic t-shirts. That was one of my first. When I was in like seventh grade, I would wear a shirt that said, you have a face for radio. And
you
I was
did.
Like, this is the funniest thing I've ever read in my life.
Wait, where did you get it?
Oh, my mom got it for me. You know, my mom would think it was funny too. She was like, oh my gosh, you have to get this shirt. That's my mom impression. I will say, I told someone the other day, I went on an Alaskan cruise with my family a couple years ago. And it was one of those tourist traps where they put you in front of a green screen. They're like, hold your arm out like this. And it looks like an eagle is coming to land on.
Yes.
And then we go around and we see the picture. And my mom goes, I just have to get it. This is so cool.
That's hilarious.
And it is. It's on my fridge. It's a good picture.
No, I feel like Gavin's seen it. And he's like, is that a real eagle?
Half the people who see it do think it's real. Because I'm reacting. I'm a full blown Frances Pugh. Don't worry, darling. Great actress.
You're acting.
I'm an actor. I'm acting.
You were in the role.
Yeah.
I'm a tourist with eagle.
I had to spend the whole I spent the whole week in Alaska, kind of like an accelerated method acting, I would say.
Oh my
I was in Juneau. I was in Ketchikan. I was all over. I was just becoming one with the Alaskans, the Eskimos. I don't know. At some point, I do think we should wrap this up because I cannot talk about my family anymore.
Oh, well, I think they'll like it.
I think they are going to appreciate this. Because I've only ever called them mean when I was little.
Well, they're gonna be like, how does Grace
they're very
know
sweet
about
people.
All of the nieces and nephews? I know so much
about them. Oh, my gosh. You've seen half of them on FaceTime. They
yeah,
know
that's
you.
True.
And
that's
we have a million pictures on Facebook together.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm one of the family.
HB.
At this point.
All right. Brian, I think we're good for this week.
I think we did it.
Grace, thank you so much for coming and joining.
Thanks for having me, guys. This was so much fun.
All right, guys. It is Thursday, September 8th. We appreciate you tuning in. You can catch us again next week. Love you guys.
The Comedy Zone podcast is a production of Comedy Zone Worldwide and is recorded in a bunker just off the Comedy Zone showroom at the Abbott Exchange Music Factory in Charlotte, North Carolina. The executive producers of the Comedy Zone podcast are Brian Heffern and Brian Balthasiewicz. Talent Wrangler is Mike Hall. Original music composed and performed by John McKeever.